Welcome, everybody, to Juwanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day, and I'm just so grateful, thankful, humbled that I have an opportunity to speak with you again. As always, you know, these shows that we do, Health, Wealth, and Divine, are for you. They're for you, and if they're not for you, they're for somebody that you know. And this information today, this show today, is no different. We've got a very, very special guest coming on again. He's a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. We're very fortunate, very humbled and honored to have someone of such a caliber to bring this information to us, to take time out of his busy schedule to share this information with all of us. We're so very, very thankful. We're going to be talking about a subject that many of us take for granted. We're going to be talking about a subject that people just probably don't really give as much credit to, or shall I say credence to, as we should. And that's going to be the topic we're going to be discussing today, is water. Water deficiency and disease. Water deficiency and disease formation. There's actually a connection between the formation of disease and water deficiency. So I want to get to my special guest in case you're just tuning in for the very first time and you're not familiar with Dr. Watkins, MD. Let me tell you a little bit about him. Dr. Watkins graduated from the Howard University College of Medicine in 1977. He works in Washington, D.C. and specializes in general practice and family medicine. Again, as always, it's an honor to speak to my brother. Dr. Watkins, welcome back. Health, Wealth, and Divine, sir. It's a pleasure to have you again.
It is my pleasure to be here.
You know, Dr. Watkins, I just want to, you know, just impress upon the listeners that you are a medical doctor, an MD. So I want everybody that's listening, Dr. Watkins, you're listening to somebody that knows the body. He studied the body and graduated back in 1977. So we're talking about decades he's been doing this. He started off his career as a surgeon, and, you know, we're very, very fortunate. Doctor, we're going to be talking about an overlooked practice, or not, shall I say, a practice, but something we need to practice, a portion of holistic health that sometimes people, I don't think, give as much credence to as we should, and that is the necessity of drinking water. But before we do, can you tell our listeners who are tuning in for the first time a little bit about yourself, what brought you to the holistic health path? Because, again, people always want to know who they're listening to and why they're listening to them. So could you share with our listeners what brought you to this work?
Well, you know, I tell people it wasn't that I just woke up one morning with this bright idea that we needed some doctors of naturopathic medicine or natural medicine. I was clearly devoted to becoming the finest surgeon that I could become. But something happened. There was a group of us that was going to do this self-supporting ministry, medical ministry down south. And I went into surgery for that group. And about my third year in residency, it became clear that this was not going to happen. The other guys backed out, and I, in situations like that, I did the only thing I knew to do. I cried out to God, you know, what am I going to do? You know, these guys backing out, they made a commitment. I followed up on the commitment. And God told me to leave surgery. I said, no, Lord, you don't understand. I'm good with this knife.
Right.
And he said, no, you don't understand. I want you to leave surgery. And it took me 2 years to get the courage up to actually leave. But once I did, I then had to decide, well, what area of medicine would I function at. I thought about being a preventative medical doctor,
mm-hmm.
but then I
mm-hmm.
thought, well, I can prevent some diseases, but most people are already sick. So I have to do more than prevent. I have to also restore.
Yes.
And so I decided to go into prevention and rehabilitation of medicine. And so that's how I ended up doing what I'm currently doing, trying to prevent as much as we can, but certainly overdoing a lot to restore people's health.
Well, you know, tonight, if you're just tuning in, I see the phone lines are lighting up even as we speak. Tonight's discussion is on water and disease formation. Let's talk about the connection between disease formation and water deficiency. Why is water, this might sound like a rhetorical question, but why is water so important as opposed, specifically water, as opposed to other forms of fluid? You know, some people might say, well, I get my water in my tea, you know. But why is drinking enough water so important to maintaining a functioning body that's healthy and well?
Well, maybe before we even try to answer that question, we need to look at what water does and
okay.
what a deficiency of water will do. We need to recognize that 60 to 70% of the adult body weight is made up of water. A baby, 90%+ of that baby's body weight is made up of water. Why God chose to make it that way, I don't know. I didn't create the body, but I know that's what we have. And when you have adequate water, what it does, it serves as the universal solvent, meaning that all of the products, for instance, of digestion, can be dissolved in water. You know, the nutrients, as well as the cellular waste, are dissolved in water. And it's by this means that these nutrients are carried to the cell. By the same token, it is through the blood, via the water, that the waste is removed from the kidneys, from the lungs, from the gut, from the skin. These are the major organs of excretion of waste. You know, water serves as a structural component and a cushion to all the cells. Thereby, we don't have the friction in our knees or in our lungs, in our heart as it functions. You know, and even in our eyes, in our mouth, everywhere we have movable parts, we have water as a key ingredient. Water regulates the temperature of the body through the evaporation of water from the skin and from the lungs. Water acts as a lubricant. The saliva, you know, helps us in swallowing. The mucus secretions in the intestinal tract, they help the food pass through it. You know, water is used in the secretions in the lung and then the genital urinary tract and so on. Water is just the medium that all the body uses to carry out its functions. And therefore, water is a very, very critical component of the body. Once again, why God chose to do it that way, we got to ask him once we get to heaven.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. To those of you who are listening by phone, during the course of this discussion, I'm sure you're going to have a comment or a question. Don't be shy. Fun, and I'll bring you on board. If you're listening online, the number's 347-324-5727. Doctor, you mentioned something very, very important, and that is that, well, all of it was important, but this really stood out to me as well, is that the water carries the nutrients to the cell. Now, many of us don't drink enough water, and even those who are on a holistic health path who might be taking herbs and supplements might drink just enough water to swallow of the capsule, you know. And so I tell people, you know, listen, when you're swallowing your herbal supplements or whatever, drink enough water so at least you do more than just, you want to take more than enough water to just get the capsule down your throat. You know, you got to sleep enough water so that it's beneficial to you. Could you stay there for a moment just talking about that the water carries the nutrients to the cell, because sometimes people just think that as long as I'm drinking liquid, if it's a hot summer day, and especially now with the weather heating up, we're going to definitely need to make sure that we're hydrated. But somebody might be running a full court basketball game, and the first thing they say afterwards is, pass the beer, you know, I'm hot, you know. But there's no nutrients there that are going to be passed on to the cell. So could you really talk about that part, the nutrients being driven to the cell? Yes.
You know, when our foods are digested, we don't extract the water from the food, you know. We add water to the food. That food is you chew it, and it's a liquid that contains water, and then it goes down into the through the esophagus into the stomach, and there it meets more water. This is acid water, and that water also contains enzymes that tend to break up the nutrients into its various chemical structures, and then those chemicals are carried. See, we are just a bunch of chemical reactions, a bunch of electromagnetic reactions. That's what we are. And if we understand it that way, all these nutrients have to be broken down into its constituents. We don't get, you know, collard greens carried to the cell as collard greens. Those collard greens got to be broken down, and then, you know, the body chops them up, and then it starts the various chemicals, the vitamins, the minerals, other nutrients out of the cell, and it combines with other nutrients and chemicals and forms reactions, forms molecules, substances, and those things are carried to the cell. I laugh when we talk about protein, for instance. You know, people say, I got to eat proteins. I tell them, I said, your body doesn't want proteins. Your body wants amino acids. So give your body what it needs. If you give your body a big steak, the body has to break that steak down into its constituent amino acids and then take those specific amino acids and build a protein that the body can then carry to the cell through the bloodstream and build specific muscles or whatever, eyes or, you know, other tissues. That's what happens when we eat our food. It goes through chemical reactions, and these chemical reactions are all carried via the blood, via the lymph, via water.
Well, Doc, before we get into what are some of the diseases that are either directly or indirectly associated with water deficiency, what would be the symptoms of water deficiency? I mean, aside from just flat-out dehydration, you know, I mean, what would be, how would somebody know whether or not they need to be drinking more water?
Well, that's a very interesting question, because one of the problems that occurs with dehydration is you get inflammation. And one of the symptoms of inflammation is muscle fatigue, muscle aches, low fever. Those are also symptoms of dehydration, you know. Depending on the level of dehydration, you can get, of course, dryness of the skin. You can get an increase in a heart rate. You can get a decrease in blood pressure. All of these are symptoms of dehydration. If you're severely dehydrated, you can even faint. You know, I had a patient just a few weeks ago that blacked out, and the ambulance came and so forth, and she wouldn't go. They gave her some fluids, and she wouldn't go to the hospital because she said she knew that she was dehydrated. Now, I thought that was foolish. She should have gone. But she was dehydrated, you know, and severely dehydrated. It was a hot day, and so she lost more water than she needed, you know. Sometimes, you know, you'll get sinking of the eyes, and you know, the eyes will be dry and no tears, or very few tears. You'll get a loss of firmness of the skin, and it can even become wrinkled. You know, so all of these, bloating can occur, convulsions in serious occasions, convulsions can actually occur when you have inadequate water intake. And so this thing is serious, and we need to take it as being serious. Your pulse will be rapid, but it won't be strong, so it'll be a rapid weak pulse. You'll breathe rapid and breathe deep, you know, much faster than normal. But you're doing all this and you're not sweating. Normally, if you did these things, you would be sweating. But because you're dehydrated, there is no sweat.
Well, when we're talking about water and, you know, making sure that we're hydrated and not deficient in our water intake, so this next question may vary from person to person, but I'm not sure, so I'll ask. When it comes to drinking water, how much is enough? Or does that vary, you know, based on other considerations when it comes to an individual? Or is there a standard that you should at least drink X amount of ounces of water per day?
The answer is yes and no. There's a general rule that we give, and that is you take the body weight and you divide it in two. And that gives you the number of ounces of water that you need. And then you divide that by eight, and that gives you the number of 8-ounce glasses that you need to drink. For instance, if a person is 160 pounds, you divide that in two, you get 80. And then, so it means that a person 160 pounds need about 80 ounces of water a day. But then you want to know, well, how many glasses? First of all, the glasses are different sizes, but we'll use a standard 8-ounce glass. So you divide by eight, and you'll get 10. So you need 10 8-ounce glasses of water to adequately supply your needs. But if you work somewhere where it's very hot and you'll be sweating a lot, then you need to drink extra water. I remember one summer I worked in a steel mill in Cleveland, my home, and they were always giving us salt pills and encouraging us to drink water because they knew that we'd be losing a lot of water, you know, if you're running or active in a sport. Then you need to drink more. If you're quite sedentary, then you may not have to drink quite as much. So it depends on the height, weight, but perhaps more importantly on the activity.
Well, Doc, we need to probably dispel something right off the bat. Probably should have said it at the beginning of the show, but it's never too late. We don't want to be drinking tap water. I mean, is that correct? I mean, because there are a lot of people who just don't have a problem with drinking tap water and don't understand the importance of not drinking water just coming out of the faucet like that. And what type of water suggest? I mean, there are different types of water. You got spring water, distilled water, alkaline water, reverse osmosis water. I mean, from your perspective, which water would you suggest? And again, does that vary depending on whether you're fasting or whether you're not fasting? Do you have a preference when it comes to water?
Yeah. You know, I always recommend drinking spring water. I mean, distilled water.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because that's the water of nature. You know, when it rains not tap water, it rains distilled water. You know, I hear a lot of people talk about, well, you need minerals. You don't need it from the water.
Mm.
God is the one decide that the rain will be distilled.
Mm-hmm.
All the water in the plants, the fruits, the vegetables, the grains, all that water is distilled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recommend distilled water. But we know that the body likes to be alkaline, so if you want to put some minerals in there, you can put mineral drops, or you can put some minerals via the lemon juice, and that makes the water even more alkaline, and you can drink it that way. But that's what I recommend. I was on a panel with our buddy Dick Gregory one time,
mm-hmm.
and Dick was talking about this water thing, and he said the best water is distilled. If you can't get distilled, get spring. If you can't get spring, get the tap water, boil it, and then let it cool and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a means to boil it, then get the tap water, sit it on the floor, and when the dog drinks it, you can drink it. And of course, the point he was making, you know, after you let the water sit for a while, that some of the chlorine and different volatile substance that's in the water will be evaporated. But you can't just use, you know, you just can't use, because I would not recommend, and I don't even know anybody who just go and drink, to be honest, I don't know anybody who just go and drink tap water, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's at least filtered.
Well, let me ask you this, because, I mean, there has been a debate that has been raging for, you know, ever since I became a vegetarian, was whether whether spring is better than distilled, or distilled is better than spring. And one of the arguments for those who were proponents of drinking spring water suggested that distilled water, because it was devoid of, you know, minerals, that it was like a sponge, that it would go into your system and it would actually pull out, you know, even the good, you know, some good minerals on its way through. You know what I mean? They would just, like, grab and carry it out with it.
What evidence do they have of that?
Oh, I'm just sharing. I'm just.
No. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's easy to run your mouth, but put up or shut up. What facts do you
mm-hmm.
have? The
mm-hmm.
reality is that the body does develop an equilibrium, but the body has so many nutrients. You know, water is a nutrient, but the body also has food, and those food contains nutrients, salts, and so forth. And when the water goes into the stomach, for instance, it's mixed with nutrients, and so it never just stays plain water. It's mixed, and it does pull out. But, you know, in the stomach, for instance, it's very dynamic. And, it, you know, if you study digestion, you'll know that the concentration of acid in the stomach gets very high. Those hydrogen ions are pumped in there at a very high concentration. And so water is not just water. You know, it's not just going throughout the body uninhibited. You know, that's a bunch of junk, you know. But if you want to drink spring water, fine. But I remember, don't assume that all spring water is spring.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching Bill Moyer. It was when I was in medical school, Bill Moyer's journal. And he was featuring this beautiful mountain spring. Nice, cool water would come, and people would come from miles around and get that water. And then somebody got the bright idea. Let's test the water. Why do you want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when they tested the water, they found out the water had all these pesticides in it.
Mm-hmm.
Pesticides? Where did the pesticides come from? Well, they did a little digging, and they found that the pesticides came as a result of aerial spraying of the trees.
Mm.
And then when it rained, the water was washed down to the ground, went into the ground, got into the aquifer, and got into the stream, and came out as nice, pure, cool, pesticide-filled water.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
So, you know, we have to be very careful. We have to be. I'm not going to tell a person not to drink spring water, but you know, we run our mouths and we say things, and we have no evidence to back them up.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. We're talking about water deficiency and disease formation. My name is Jawanza. Thank you so much for your time. You got a question? You want to join in the conversation? All you have to do is just press 1, and I can bring you on board, and you can ask your question. Doc, what about vitamin water? Water that you buy, you know, they've got vitamin water in the store. Somebody might say, well, you know, I just can't drink plain water. You know, I got to have flavored water because, you know, I just can't drink that stuff like that, you know. What do you say about vitamin water? Yes or no?
No.
Why?
When you get vitamin water, what's the source of the vitamins? Are they just some coal tar vitamins that they're putting in water to up the price of the water and get you to buy it? If you want some vitamins in water, some people put mint. Some people put. I was up in Connecticut, and they had mint and they had cucumber. Oh Lord, have mercy, cucumber in the water. Not only did it give it the water minerals, it gave it a delicious taste, a cooling taste. It was just, you know, for a person like myself who really doesn't like water, I could just drink that water all day long, you know. So to me, that's the way to get the minerals in water. Some people put ginger in the water and let it sit, and then the nutrients are absorbed from the ginger, and that equilibrium is established. Some people put other things, cayenne. I put lemon juice in a lot of my water. So you can get nutrients, but when you get them from a natural source, then you know where they're coming from, and that works very, very well. I know for anemia, when I have a patient that has iron deficiency anemia, I tell them, instead of taking iron, take some dried fruit and put it in water and let it soak overnight. And then take the fruit, take the water and pour it into another container. And you can dispose of the fruit. A lot of people don't dispose of it. But drink the water. I have a cup twice a day, and within just several weeks, the iron in your body will be just replaced, and you'll be normal. It's amazing how well it works. I had a lady; she had lost. She don't even know where the loss of blood came from. But she was down to having a hemoglobin of 10. I'm sorry, of 6. Of 6. Very, very low. And she did what I told her. And that thing came up to 11.9. And it's probably even higher now because I haven't measured it in several months. But it just, within a relatively short period of time, that hemoglobin came right on back up.
Now, could we talk about fasting and water for a moment? And when people fast, would you recommend people do a, in addition to other fasts, you know, a juice fast, would you recommend ever a water fast? I've actually heard people say that they wouldn't necessarily do a plain water fast, but they would actually, you know, incorporate some live juices in that. But what's your take on that? Would you ever do a water fast? Would you recommend that?
I do recommend water fast from time to time, not frequently. The fast I generally recommend is what I call a modified juice fast. But there are times I will recommend a water fast, but for just a few days. I tell people, and most authorities would say that if you're going to do a water fast for more than 3 days, it needs to be under supervision of someone who is an authority on fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can get in serious trouble doing a water fast, and you don't know what you're doing. But a modified juice fast, you can just almost fast forever, and just get such excellent results. So fasting is something I just routinely put my patients on fast, you know, routinely. And matter of fact, I tell them after the fast, I'll treat the residual. But it's a modified juice fast that we use, and we use different herbs and so forth along with it to clean out the various organ systems and promote bowel movement and kill parasites, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what we do. So, yes, I believe fasting is something that's very, very good. And it helps to restore the body of its health, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I use it regularly in my practice.
Could you talk about water and flushing for a moment? You just touched on it briefly, but because of all of this, not to mention the food, if you're not eating a proper diet, the hazardous effects that are going to come as a result of not eating a proper diet, and then not to even mention the environmental toxins that you might get just through breathing the air, you know, how important it is to flush the body of all of the, you know, the harmful toxins in the environment, and how water can be a very effective way to do that.
Well, water is a cleanser. When you say flush, I don't know that it flushes the way we flush a toilet.
Well, keep things moving.
But clearly, water goes in and helps to pull the toxins and out of the cells, out of storage, if you please, put it in solution, and then gets it out the body. And so if you want to call that a flush, it clearly does that. And so you drink the water, and the body uses that water to pull those toxins out and then carry them out of the body, either through the skin with perspiration, through the lungs. We breathe out a lot of water and vapor through the lungs. And if you don't believe it, on a cold day, go and see the water coming out your mouth from breathing. Through the urine, even water through the bowels is moved out. And so all this occurs as the body is, quote, flushing the system of toxins.
Doc, I want to give your information so that people can get in contact with you. I know there are people out there that are listening that after hearing this show want to learn more about the work that you do. But just lastly, for those who say, I don't like the way water tastes. You know, I have a problem with it. I've tried it. I've tried to drink more water, but, you know, every time I get to my second glass, you know what I mean, I just never finish it. I just find it difficult. You have people that really just don't like water and don't like it to the point where they just won't drink it. What would you say to those people?
Well, I don't like water, but I love it. Because when I drink it, no, I mean, I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather drink a smoothie or a glass of juice. But mm-hmm. when I drink it, it loves me. And it makes me feel so good. My sinuses are open up. My bowels are flush. My skin gets clearer. You know, water is just a powerful, powerful thing. And if we drink it, we'll get results that we can't get any other way. And so, but you can put, some things in it that won't mess it up so bad. You know, like I mentioned, lemon juice, the mint. You can put some mint leaves in there or, you know, a little cantaloupe or some other, cucumber or some other things you can put in the water to change the texture of the water. You can do drops, mineral drops, that will make a difference. So there are a number of ways that you can change the way the water tastes and its texture.
Mm-hmm.
To make it more palatable to you. But the bottom line is we must drink our water.
Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. Doc, how can people reach you if they are interested in just connecting with you? Again, this show was about water. Okay, but, I mean, we've done shows with Dr. Watkins on, I mean, you name it. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, we've talked about adrenal fatigue. We've talked about, God knows, you got to go down the archive. I'm telling you, just go down.
Diabetes, cancer, heart disease.
Kidney failure. I mean, you name it. We've talked about it. So I want to encourage you to go down the archives. Just scroll down the archives, and you can see the different shows that we've done with Dr. Watkins. While I have everybody listening, if I want to thank everybody also for coming out to the Health and Wellness Symposium that we did last week at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center in Fort Washington. Awesome, awesome information. Doc was dynamic, as I knew he would be, as well as Dr. Ruby Lason, Brother Coy Dunstan, Brother Frank Smith. I mean, all of these were dynamic speakers, and judging from the turnout, we know that you enjoyed it too, and we're going to be continuing to put these on, and hopefully you'll be able to make the next one if you didn't make this one, because it was powerful. I got to meet and shake hands with some people, and it was just a great afternoon learning and talking about holistic health. Doc, for those who want to get in contact with you, though, how can they reach you? And, if they wanted to reach you because they got a condition, they need a second opinion or something, you provide that type of information?
Yeah, they can call my office. The number there is 202-388-0992. That's 202-388-0992. They can reach me through our web site at www.twiliving.com. That's TWI, that stands for The Watkins Institute. TWI Living, LIVING .org. So those are the two best ways to reach me.
Okay. Any hours of operation, Doc? Or just, you know, they
office,
can get you.
Our office is open. Well, they can call anytime. If we're not there, they can leave a message. But our office hours are Tuesday through Thursday from 8 I'm sorry, from 9:30 to 4:30, and then Friday from 9 until 1.
Any parting words for our listeners, Doc? This has been a fabulous interview. You've really driven home the point for people to really drink more water. You've talked about the benefits of it and the what happens if you don't drink enough water. And, you know, just for people to be able to hear this information, because we kind of know that we might not drink enough water. We kind of know that we should be drinking more water. But when you actually hear an interview on the benefits of drinking more water and the harmful effects of not drinking more water, then this is something that you'll never forget. I guarantee you, everybody that's listening, you'll never look at water again the same way after hearing this interview. Doc, any parting words for our listeners today?
Well, first of all, I want to just say that we just scratched the surface of this topic, and we probably need to come back and go into more depth in certain areas of it, especially the disease formation phase. But I thought it was important for us to help people understand the function of water, you know, and put it in a different, sort of a different light. And so people will recognize that it's not an accident that you need water, you know. 60 to 70% of your body's weight is water, so you need to drink that water. But if you are not doing it, you know, get started, and don't argue as to what water to drink. Drink whatever water you want. I tell my people I don't argue over that, you know. Drink some water, get started, and then we worry about what kind of water you're drinking later. But just get started and don't stop. Calculate your height, your weight, and especially your weight, divided by 2. That gives you the number of ounces that you need. Divide that by 8, and that gives you the number of 8-ounce glasses of water you need to drink, and then start knocking it down. You know, my wife, she's very good at that. She'll say, "Honey, this is 4, and you know, I got 8, and she'll set times. No, seriously,
mm-hmm.
And she'll set a time. I'm going to drink so much water by such and such a time. So we can do those kinds of things. Give ourselves an incentive to do the things that we know we need to do. And then, you know, she even has this app that she got on her phone that allows her to tick off. I put one up on mine, but it's not as – I don't like it the nicest – I mean, as much as I like hers. But it ticks off the number, so you can actually keep up with the number of glasses that you're drinking. So there's no excuse not to get your water in. Just go ahead and do it and get excited about it.
You know, that's a beautiful statement, Doc. Get excited about it, you know, because this is your health, and your health is your wealth. And like we touched upon earlier, you know, I mentioned that there are a lot of people that just don't like water, and Doc admitted that, you know, hey, he don't like water either, but water loves him. Okay, well, water loves you too, you know. So although you might not like the taste of it, there are no excuses, because like Doc said, there are things you can do to make it taste better to you. But the benefits of drinking it far outweigh your, you know, desire to maybe have something sweet, or you just don't like it. I mean, you know, we're adults listening. You came to this show on purpose. You know, you're not here by accident. You are here on purpose, okay? So this information is either for you or it's for somebody that you know. So we're adults, so let's make adults' decision. If water is good for us and we don't like the way it tastes, a child would say, "I ain't drinking that. I don't like that." An adult would say, "Well, like Doc said, I don't like it, but it loves me. So, you know, I'm going to drink it." Doc, we might have, yes, well, let's do a part 2 to this, because, again, if you're saying we just scratched the surface, my brother, I can only imagine what's underneath the surface.
Yes, sir. I think it's very important. You know, we need to talk about that sugar water and why that's not good for you and other things. So yeah, let's get back to it and let's talk about it. But I've enjoyed being on with you today, and I want to just commend you for the fantastic work that you're doing in the community, and may God just continue to bless you big time.
Thank you, my brother. Again, when I see brothers like you out there doing what you do, and I sit and I listen, I sit at your feet and I listen to the information that you bring and the way you bring it, it just makes me feel like, man, I want to share you with the world and anybody that will listen. You know, I'm asking, you know, Dr. Watkins, you need to tune into the show tonight. Dr. Watkins is going to be on. And so I definitely thank you for your words, brother, because coming from you, that means a lot. Everybody,
all right.
My special
God bless.
Is Ted Watkins. Doc, I'll be in touch. Everybody, my special guest is Dr. Ted Watkins, MD. All I can say is, wow, just wait for part two. Okay, if you thought part one was something, wait until part two. Everybody, I just want to take a moment and just thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you so much for sharing this information with other people. This information is so vital. I mean, people are dying. Our loved ones are dying. Our loved ones are sick, you know, and this information has fallen upon your ears for a purpose, for a reason, not just for you, but it's for somebody that you love as well. And so just by virtue of the fact that you somehow got this message, whether it was on Facebook, whether somebody texted you, whether, you know, somebody called you and told you to tune in, you heard it and you tuned in. Help us spread this message, because we're trying to get this message out to the world. You know, it doesn't matter who, just as long as somebody gets it. And again, you heard this information on purpose. So I just want to encourage you to share this information with somebody that you love. If you got the text, okay, you know, well, I don't know if you got a text, but if, let's say you got a text, but you don't know the web address, it's www.blogtalkradio.com/JawanzaForLife. That's JAWAN like Nancy, Z like zebra, A, the number four, not the word, but the number four, Life, LIFE. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com/JawanzaForLife. My name is Jawanza. We come on every Tuesday and Thursday, normally, from 7 to 8 p.m. This was a special show, so Dr. Watkins, we know we had to work in his schedule, so we did it a little later tonight, but normally it's from 7 to 8 p.m. We've got awesome guests. I mean, people that have cured themselves of cancer. I mean, people that have cured, I mean, we've got a brother Coy Dunston cured his mother of cancer in both breast, the liver, and the colon. He's a regular. Dr. Ruby Lathan cured herself of thyroid cancer. She's a regular. Dr. Watkins, who you just heard tonight, he's a regular. Okay, we've got other shows, and I mean, we've talked about fasting. We've talked about, I mean, you name it. We've got shows on spirituality. I mean, we've got shows on everything. You name entrepreneurship. I mean, all you have to do is just scroll down the archives, and you're going to see a show that is for you or for somebody that you know. Again, I just want to say thank you for your time. I certainly appreciate it. I do not take you for granted. My name is Jawanza, and I just want to say I love you too. Until the next time, peace.